The Around the NFL Podcast. Making America great again.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Colleen Wolf, but Dan is here too. I think he's trying to sabotage me, and we're joined by a room filled with some heroes, Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal.
Hi, Colleen.
What's up? Dan, what the hell is going on here?
It is the off season. It is the dark period. So to mix things up, I am behind the glass today. Brandon is over my shoulder, but I am running the show from behind the glass.
Oh, no. So Dan basically is – he's seated behind the glass.
Brandon
but
literally just went over his shoulder to press something for him as he was pressing it.
He's in the shadows right now. And so far, these are the things that I've heard from Dan. Oh, that's a button? Can they hear me? Oh, it's my world. Great. I love it. So it's Dan in front of a soundboard, and it's the off season.
I am very excited. You know, I think this is a good way for me to – look at the show from a different angle, behind the glass, see
literally
who the real contributors, who's really carrying their weight, who needs to work harder, pick up the chisels on that side.
Great. So Dan is looking over our shoulders
it's
while we do
this. It's
just
an excuse for Dan to play Get Your Dan Hands Us as much as possible in the show.
So I said to him, I saw him earlier this morning, he was getting makeup, and he said, yeah, I don't know about having the pod three times this week. Might have been a mistake. And now, all of a sudden, he's not hosting, and he sends
wow
me an email a half hour before we sit down to do this, and he says, you're hosting, I'm producing. So
it's all being shown.
You can.
This is a great conspiracy theory, Colleen. Yes, I, you know, in putting the show together, how do we jazz this one up? You know, the third show of a very quiet week. But it wasn't because I thought the show was going to drown, so I was jumping off the ship. If anything, I put myself in an even more vital role here because
really
I'm trying
more vital
new
than host. So you're more important than Brandon. I mean, Brandon McGinnis is more important than you, you're saying in our
that,
show.
That's what,
an interesting statement.
Well, that's what Irish says to me.
Wow. This is a lot to handle right now, I think.
And can I just say,
that's why you change producers so often. They're so valuable. You don't want any one of them to get too comfortable every 7 months or so.
That's not nice. But Colleen, this is obviously you're running the show here, but I do want to, we should touch on what's going on with the softball team. I handed out the starting lineup.
Yeah, you did.
Wednesday afternoon. You are not starting, and I know you're a little upset about that.
Yeah, I'm on the bench, but that's fine. I'm not going to change my approach at all. And you know what? I guess I just have to prove myself. I feel like the Trent Richardson, even though I never really had a breakout year.
Strike three, you're out.
Oh, no.
Play ball.
So this is going well.
This is just Dan's desire to have as many drops
strike
as
three,
possible.
Strike three, you're out.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I found these drops of random baseball stuff. Clearly, it was recorded in Toronto.
Play ball. Strike three, you're out.
Dan,
you're out.
Do you have a pre-show grade?
No. In fact,
you have to give
I'm
one.
The producer. The host hands out the pre-show grade. So that's on you.
Okay. I'm feeling pretty satisfactory right now. So I'm going to go with a C+.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty much my standard. Like, I will set the bar really low.
Yeah.
And then basically be surprised if it's better.
What under, you know, under promise, over deliver.
Right.
You know, it's like my pre-show grade for the softball game tonight.
That's a hot butt sizzling in the host chair.
You are really just putting
thanks for putting me here.
Yeah, in a bad position here. My pre-show grade for the softball game is D+.
D+.
Because why?
I feel
three,
like
you're out.
I feel like putting Colleen on the bench.
Somebody's going to have to take him away from the soundboard for real.
She hasn't been here. She hasn't been on the field for a while. You're causing some consternation within the team. She's not handling it well. She's already trying to bring alcohol to the game. Mm. She's going to be on the bench.
What's wrong with bringing alcohol to the game?
It's
softball. That's the only way to play.
Well, I was going to bring it because I didn't want to have to pay for Postmates, but someone else already came up. They came in and really saved the day because they're bringing beer.
So Drea, you are going to sit on the bench.
Yes.
Right next to the beer.
And drink it.
Yes.
During
the game. I
feel
like that's a good rule.
I'm excited about the softball game, and I give it a pregame grade of A, kind of,
wow.
I think. Brandon? All right.
A very important game for the Shield. We're 3-4, a game out of the playoffs. And the only thing with Colleen, we're glad to have her back in the lineup, but, you know, you can't just parachute back into the picture and expect to still have a starting job. You've been gone for almost 2 months.
Well, for various reasons.
I know.
A lot of them work-related. Mm. So no excuses, though.
Okay.
We'll see what happens tonight. How about that?
I like it.
Okay. Let's do some news. How about that?
Okay. Let's do some news.
You and your comments.
It's fun to say them.
It's fun to hear them.
That's why I say them.
And that's why I listen.
All right. So first up, this is very good job, Dan. Yay. Gold
oh, wait.
Star
Dan,
for you.
Dan needs constant affirmation as a producer, too.
All right, so guys, first up, there's a quarterback in the league that cannot stop staring at himself in the mirror. That's Matt Ryan. He's using a mirror to improve his footwork.
It's about me.
It is. It is about all the quarterbacks. He's hoping to improve his timing and his ball placement. And what do you think about this? Will it help? Do you care at all, Wes?
How did this make it into the news?
Listen, it is. Why do you think Dan is not hosting this?
So Dan sets this up as a shaky news operation, a first news item.
Yes.
And then
I'm sorry, I was the only one that was even slightly interested in planning the show today.
Well, that's...
and
I would have planned it if I knew I was hosting it.
Number two, this is a way, Wes, as a jumping off point to talk about Matt Ryan if you really need to, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit. Go ahead. Oh.
Let's talk a little Matt Ryan.
Sure.
What do we think? Bad year last year, relatively. A little disappointing. I was disappointed.
I think he'll have a bounce back year. I think Matt Ryan's the same quarterback he's always been. And I heard Nate Burleson say on Total Access yesterday that Mohamed Sanu's going to be one of the best number two wide receivers in the league. I think Nate and I are on an island on this one. I think Sanu is going to exceed expectations. He got lost in the shuffle in Cincinnati. Not enough targets to go around for everyone, and I think he felt a little left out. When A.J. Green and Marvin Jones were injured for a month and a half long stretch in 2014, I thought Sanu played lights out.
A lot of drops.
A lot of diving catches, a lot of tough catches in traffic. I think when he's targeted consistently, he's a good player. Mm.
I also think second year in Kyle Shanahan's offense, so that always helps. First year, sometimes it's a little shaky. We saw what happened with Eli Manning in Ben McAdoo's offense. It just takes a little bit of time, and then you sort of see when it starts to click. So hopefully that happens with Matt Ryan.
I also think that Shanahan and Ryan should have been a much better combination than it was. Like, we thought that was going to be amazing.
Right.
And it was not good at all. I wouldn't say it was not good at all because the running game worked for Shanahan. It should be much better.
I mean, they fell off, though, so far, the second half of the season.
It was weird that the defense wasn't really the problem for Matt Ryan. For the Falcons. I think being average on defense was about as good as they could expect. It was really the passing game declining was the problem down the
street. Admit it, though, Greg. You were all in on Matt Ryan last season. He disappointed you. He maybe revealed himself to be no better than 11 through 14 in the quarterback rankings, and maybe that's just who he is. Maybe he'll never become the top five guy.
Well, I think this year when he is going up against the Nolan Saints, you know, Dan's not even listening right
Dan,
now.
I'm producing.
You have to listen.
I'm producing.
All right.
I'm saying when he is going up against, you know, Jairus Byrd and the New Orleans Saints.
Stay with me. Jairus Byrd.
Put down the chisels.
Jairus Byrd.
Yeah.
Jairus Byrd.
Yeah, I think. Start putting down the chisels. The timing there. I don't want this fixed in editing. A big delay.
How are you going to expect Matt Ryan to keep playing at the same level, keep posting the same numbers when he loses Tony Gonzalez and Roddy White is a shell of himself?
Yeah.
He had Julio Jones in the slowest wide receiver core in the NFL.
Yeah, but he gets to play Jairus Byrd twice a year.
Jairus Byrd.
There you go.
Jairus Byrd.
All right. Moving on. How about DeMarco Murray? He's happy to get his groove back. He's going to be running downhill again. He told the Jim Rome show he likes the fit with the offense. It's strictly downhill, and that's what he's been accustomed to his entire life. He said nothing against last year or what happened. It just didn't work out, but he's super excited about the upcoming season. He's really looking forward to it. Mm. Do you think that DeMarco Murray will bounce back in the Titans offense?
I do. I don't think he's going to be 2014 DeMarco Murray. That guy's gone, but as I've said several times, when you look at guys with extremely heavy workloads, historically heavy workloads, they often are terrible the next year and then bounce back to 75-80% of what they were the year before that. So to me, that's reasonable. He's in an offense that's more suited to his style now, too.
Well, but he doesn't get the Cowboys' offensive line. Like, that's the biggest reason why he had that breakout season. He's a good runner.
He played well.
Yeah, for half a season behind the best offensive line in the league.
For at least 13 games that season.
Scientist heat?
Yeah, that's
what's
true.
Happening
could
right now, Dan?
Dan's not quite at that level. We're not going down to the lab. Do you want to go down to the lab? We can.
Well,
yeah.
I think there could have been some Bunsen burner blowtorch, but
I didn't hear that yet.
We don't need to.
I don't just hand this out willy nilly.
There's been a lot of willy nilly drops here. The Titans' offensive line, it remains to be seen how good they are. But, you know, they've got some pedigree there, but they certainly weren't a great group last year, and they still got, you know, offensive mastermind Mike Mularkey running the show.
By the way, Wes's theory holds water to me that after. You know, at a times a dynamic 14 season, 15 was that down season tied to the workload, and maybe he bounces back. But there is the other side of it where it's just gone. That he had he had usefulness for a period of his career, and he got worked to death, and now his career is in a it can't be coming back from that. It could be over.
If that's the case, he'll quickly find himself on the bench in favor of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, the thing that I really didn't like about last year was when he talked with Jeffrey Lurie about the fact that he needed more touches and he needed to be in there more. And I don't like a player that sort of complains about that.
Classic locker room lawyer behavior.
Got to get rid of the locker room lawyers. We've seen that for years.
We should get a locker room lawyer drop. Dan, can you work on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, after the show, guys.
Great. Okay.
By the way, everyone's going to get a shot at this at some point. It's not as easy as it looks. Shout out to the Irishman and, and you know, all the people before him because – not only you have to listen to what's going on, you got to mind the board.
Yeah.
And you just got to be plugged in on the levels, which I'm not even doing.
Well, Dan, what's the hardest part about this transition?
I just explained all the different things.
The hardest one.
I think the hardest one would be getting emails 5 minutes before the show from Dan Hansis of all the drops in preparation that you need. Brandon is agreeing with
me. But you know what? That's what makes the show great. All right. What else is going on?
All right. So Patrick Peterson, he's pumped up about second year receiver J.J. Nelson. He said on NBC Radio, he's going to have a great year. Now, he was in that limited role last season, and Kevin Patra actually wrote up this article, so shout out to him. And he described him as a petite, 5'10", 160 pounds. He's talking about
petite.
His bod
petite.
On there, yeah. I don't know.
I'd like to see him call J.J. Nelson petite to his face.
Yeah, that's classic Patra.
NFL player
petite.
Here.
Patra, who bulked up in the winter and now is cutting weight in the summer, is now calling professional athletes petite. Wow.
Nelson is 5'10", 160, so he and Patra are about the same size.
Oh.
Put it on the whiteboard.
You're on the whiteboard. So, look, I mean. Okay. He has Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, and John Brown on that depth chart. He has to get in front of one of these guys. How do you see this playing out, Craig?
Well, he's not getting in front of any of those guys. Although, between Floyd and Brown especially, the odds of one of them being hurt at some point is certainly possible. So they're going to need J.J. Nelson. And I think the Cardinals throw the ball enough. They don't really use the tight end that much, as we talked about on the last show, that they can use a fourth receiver. I mean, even in his role last year, you saw Nelson flash. He certainly looked good in the preseason and a couple times made some big-time plays in the regular season.
Bruce Arians and Steve Keim have been talking J.J. Nelson up all offseason. I remember at the scouting combine when they were talking about him, and somebody asked if who's faster between John Brown and J.J. Nelson, and Arians said it's not even close. Nelson's faster. And John Brown's one of the fastest wide receivers in the league.
And they said, and he also talked him up during the OTAs about just how good he is tracking the ball, that he has something special about tracking the ball over his shoulder, which is just a tough thing for young receivers to do. And he's got that skill set. It's amazing how they find these guys. Where did J.J. Nelson went to go to college? Anybody?
So much optimism in the offseason. Mm. How much of it is true?
Well, J.J. Nelson, in fairness, by the way, went to UAB. I believe they eliminated their program for a little while after he left, although I think it's back. They first announced it. I'm just saying it's not a good sign when you eliminate the program. Probably not a great group. but this is the time of year where guys like J.J. Nelson, lightweight guys, when there's no tackling. You know, this is kind of their
team. Are you calling Kevin Patra lightweight?
Wow. No. I would never do that. I would never insult another man's body. I'm built like a 12-year-old girl.
By the way, so one of the things that Dan does when he hosts the show is keep time.
Oh, yeah, that is true. How are we doing so far?
So far, made some mistakes in my timing.
Oh, no. Don't doubt yourself.
And no, I'm only at 5 minutes so far.
That's
and
not
that
right.
is definitely wrong.
Hey, good news. A great producer serves as a backup, and I have us at 15 minutes.
Right? Oh, perfect. Okay. So I'm 10 minutes off. Great.
Yep.
I'm also really good at math. Okay. So I think
keep
it's
moving.
Time
You're
to
doing
move
great,
on.
Colin.
Yeah, let's move on to our next story here. Oh, the next story. Oh, Dan, you should be in here for this one.
This is.
So much wreckage.
Dan also wearing his Jets shirt today, too.
I am. True homer.
So Eric Decker, he's tired of Ryan Fitzpatrick and the whole contract situation. Actually, tonight at 7 p.m. on Total Access, Tiffany Blackman has a one-on-one interview with Eric Decker, and he said that he's so tired of answering questions about Fitzpatrick. I know everybody's tired of hearing about it. He said on a scale from 1 to 10, he's at a 10 right now. We've talked about it ad nauseum here.
Everyone feels the same way. The Jets players feel the same way. The coach feels the same way. The GM feels the same way. Wes feels the same way. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I, you know, not to toot my own horn, but months ago I predicted this was going to get ugly if they didn't take care of it. And God forbid it went into training camp. And guess what? They're the goddamn Jets. So what happens? This is going to go into training camp, and it's going to continue to haunt the franchise and create ugliness. And it, again, points to an ugly season in New York for the Jets. I am not excited right
Wait,
now.
Wait, haven't you literally tooted your own horn during this podcast like multiple times? And you have multiple horns.
I don't know.
That's more of a bell.
I'm just saying, like.
The clown car horn is your own horn. The Dan Hansa song is like tooting your own horn.
All right. I honestly, I'm sick of it too. And
this
I
whole
just
situation.
Wish this never happened.
It's moving at a glacial pace, and it's one of those things that just, like, it makes me not like the Jets, and it makes me sick of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't really want to do that. I don't want to feel like that, but I have no choice.
I feel sorry for poor NFL Media's Tiffany Blackman, one of my favorite of our team reporters, who knows ahead of time Eric Decker's fed up with this question, and she also has to ask the question stuff.
So one of the – I actually went down to the comment section on this article at NFL.com, and Admirable Lord Ken says, give Mo that money and move on already. What do you think about that, giving the money to Mo Wilkerson instead?
It's fair. It's at a certain point, Ryan Fitzpatrick might have overplayed his hand, and the team's just going to say, screw it, you know. I hope that doesn't happen.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's sitting there with a pair of threes in his hand.
Yeah.
Trying to push more money to the center of the table.
I don't want to be on the Geno coaster, but this is getting ridiculous.
This is a false comparison, but if or false choice, I suppose. But if the two choices were forget Ryan Fitzpatrick, just roll with Geno Smith, see what happens this year, and give Mo Wilkerson the money he wants, and Mo Wilkerson is signed long term, or you get Fitzpatrick, you get Mo Wilkerson back on a one-year contract, but it's probably his last year in New York. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm taking the long-term Mo Wilkerson contract and rolling the dice with Geno. He's more important long-term.
Are those two situations related to each other?
Maybe not. I mean, they have to be somewhat related. They're on the same team, and they're strapped for cap room. They should be somewhat related. Like I said, it's probably a false choice, but if you have to make the choice there, Dano –
Well, I've heard, you know, the fact that they have a killer schedule this year and they're, you know, one of those in-between teams where they're not, you know, a juggernaut and they're not bad. If there was a season to look ahead, I would say this could be it. So, yeah, keep Big Mo then.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that simple. I wish it was.
I'm sensing people are getting on the Geno coaster with me.
Well, you look at what the Broncos did last year, and it was the defense and not Peyton Manning. So if Geno Smith could just be a serviceable quarterback.
And import the Broncos 2015 defense.
Yes.
Behind him.
That'd help.
Yeah. All right. Well, just to sort of pull the curtain back a little bit before the show, Dan came in here and he was dancing and like he was in a really good mood. Normally when
I'm always in a good mood.
He's always in a good mood, but I can always see he's like a little stressed sometimes. Like he's just he wants to get all of his stuff together and he wants to plan it out. So before the show when we all come in here, he's usually like kind of in the zone and just like in his computer. Today he waltzes in, he's dancing, he's making jokes, but we were also listening to Lemonade. Beyoncé's Lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
And that sparked a little bit of a conversation about album of the year. So.
Ooh, I like this, Colleen.
Yeah, right? I said that I think Beyoncé's Lemonade should get album of the year.
I think it will.
I love Chance the Rapper. I love Kanye. Mm. But Beyoncé, you can't top it for me.
I want to hear Wes chime in first.
Blood on the Tracks, 1975.
That's not an option.
How old are you?
Year. Have you listened to any...
Wes, how old are you, honestly?
42.
Have you listened to any music recorded in that was released this year?
Yes, I've listened to Kanye's album. Okay. I tried to listen to Beyonce's, but they make it awfully hard to find it.
You got
it.
Well, yeah.
Hey, Beyonce, come back to us. Get it's on really all the streaming annoying. Services. Thank you.
I thought you liked Chance, too, no?
I liked the song that Greg played in the podcast studio. That was good.
Sure.
Okay. Well, what else is out there? What would be, I mean, we got to represent other rock or pop or.
The year's only half over.
What is that? And what are those things?
Rock, yeah. I don't know. What
well,
else is out there?
Here's the thing. Lemonade is fantastic. I've never listened to any Beyonce album more than a couple times. It's just not my cup of tea. But Lemonade I've listened to constantly. It's very enjoyable. And it's like art, you know, with a capital A. You throw in the films. It's gonna win everything. That's the point. Is it doesn't matter what we think. That just seems like something that's gonna win every single Grammy whenever that comes up.
Of course, it matters what we think.
And it's gonna be very strange. Everyone's gonna be commenting on how awkward it is that Jay-Z is just sitting there, you know, next to him.
I know. Well, I thought it was awkward that he was in the video, like in the actual Lemonade.
Oh, come on!
Visual component.
This is all a ruse.
It is.
They know what they're doing,
but it's weird.
It's all for show.
Oh, come on!
I never liked Beyoncé before this, for the record. Mm. So this changed everything for me.
Interesting.
All right.
But no, I'm going Chance. I mean, Chance.
You're going Chance?
Definitely might. I mean, the song that we played on Song of the Summer all night, that would maybe be my like fifth favorite song on that album. I mean, that
really?
If you want, like, just in terms of pure talent, he's got to be in the upper echelon of the most talented rappers of all time already.
Wow. Bold.
I don't even think it's that bold. And, no, and it's a very really joyous, like it's a happy album. It's going to make you happy.
Dan, what do you think?
I like that I've got to chime in on Chance the Rapper so often.
I would have to study what I've been listening to this year, but I did like the Kanye lap, but I think that he is, you know, the Academy, the Grammys, they don't like him. So I don't think they'll give it to him. Beyonce is kind of a critic's darling and the darling of, you know, the listeners of the world. So I would go with that. This is Chance, by the way.
Ooh, I like this. Come on, big fella, you drunk,
big fella. Two sips this is a strange sort of intro.
I like his actual voice, too.
Well, he's not going to get in until 30 seconds into this song, unfortunately, but yeah.
Is Coloring Book the name of the album?
That's right.
I'm going to be listening to that.
All right.
Oh, this is great. This is a great song. This is fantastic.
Will this be played at WrestleMania?
Hell yeah.
Alright.
That song is so much better than the crappy Justin Timberlake song.
You really hate that so much.
Oh my it's gosh. Just pap.
Now Brandon is dancing back
I mean,
there.
I don't As really is the rest like of this America. Song, but it's kind of catchy, and I don't want it to be catchy.
It's so bland and unoriginal. Oh, God.
All my prediction was
and like,
that it
what
would
do you
be
mean? You have sunshine in your pocket.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's no Sugar Ray, but...
Sugar Ray. Oh, my
not
God.
Bad.
No. We're not
no,
play
no, we're not playing.
Brandon went in to get on the board.
Again.
I had to swap him. To swap
Brandon
him
just
away.
Threw a fit because he didn't get Sugar
He's
Ray play.
Jumping
no,
up and down.
No,
he is jumping around.
Oh my God, my ears!
Stop it!
No, all right.
Sorry,
right.
Brandon.
Let's move on. So let's talk about football again. Maybe
yeah.
we could do that. Football's happening. I mean, it will be happening soon, at least.
Mix a little pigskin in.
Yeah. So we have a comeback player of the year candidates for 2016. So we have a nomination from every single person here, including Dan behind the glass.
Oh yeah, I'm
Weird.
Involved.
Okay. So, Wes, let's start with you.
lot of wide receivers coming back. You could go Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson, Kelvin Benjamin. I won't even say Victor Cruz, but
no.
I'm going Andrew Luck. He was the first guy I thought of. It was just last offseason that we were hearing from Frank Gore and Andre Johnson, guys who have been around the league for a dozen years, saying this guy's a football god, best quarterback we've ever seen, runs the team like a coach. Mm. He was coming off leading the NFL in touchdowns and finishing third in yards, and we just act like he's just some guy who might be good now. He's clearly great.
We're not saying.
The players ranked him number 92.
Well, that list is a little odd.
Who might
with
be
the voting?
Okay.
We can't use that as a straw man argument because we know that
well,
list is terrible.
In our last podcast, Greg asked if maybe we're a little skeptical that he can recapture that form.
Well, what I said was I think Russell – all I said was it's surprising to me that Russell Wilson seems like a sure bet, and I think you agree with that. Who did you rank higher in your top 100, Wes?
I ranked Russell Wilson higher.
So I think on some level you agree with that he's just like a safer bet. That's all I'm saying. I'm with you that I do think Luck is going to bounce back, and I think that's a great choice. I think that's a – if you are going to where they take your money
to
pick on these sort of things.
It's hot there a lot.
I would guess.
Ice rack lives there?
If they have such a thing.
Peppermill. As my roommate.
Bunch of Al Michaels.
I would guess that Andrew Luck is one of the top choices there for this award, if there is such thing.
Yeah, that's a really good
one. I would almost think that magical city in the desert where Spice Rack
NHL
gets
teams
a lot of sun.
There. Yeah.
They might even take that quarterback off the board. Because,
wow.
I mean, he's obviously – no, not even.
That'd be weird.
I mean, he's clearly – whatever the rest of the names we're going to say here, Luck, I think everyone agrees, is a Hall of Fame talent that just had a bad injury-marred year.
Everyone does not agree. I wish they would.
Well, they'll find out soon enough.
Thank you,
yeah.
Sir.
And they focus, too, on fixing – or hopefully they're fixing that offensive line, but they did put a lot of resources into it, so hopefully that helps Luck as well. I like that one, Wes. I went with a tight end.
Wow.
I feel like people sort of forget about this guy a little bit. Julius Thomas.
Oh, I thought you were going Jimmy Graham.
No, and I thought about Jimmy Graham, but the way that they looked at the Seahawks offense looked when Jimmy Graham went down, they just looked so much better that I'm staying away from him. But I like Julius Thomas because, you know, he was injured in the preseason, so he missed a lot of time there. He missed the first quarter of the season, and he was with a new team. He's a new offense, new quarterback, and missing time. That's crucial time, especially when you're in his position. And it's like you can't really build chemistry with the guys around you and your quarterback when you're not in there and you're not getting the reps and stuff. And he really did start to improve the second half of last season. And so I think that now that he has a full off season and he's able to spend time with Blake and just kind of get into the rhythm there, I think that he's going to be a lot better this year.
Even with the disappointing year last year, he leads all NFL tight ends in touchdowns over the last 3 years.
I saw that, and I was so surprised I had to double-check that. I guess Peyton Manning, those 2 years were incredible.
Well, I use that as maybe, Wes, when you like to say that the wide receiver makes the quarterback in a lot of cases. I mean, Julius Thomas is a perfect example to me of the quarterback making the receiver. He's never going to be a 10, 12, 15 touchdown guy again, is he?
I would.
Really?
I would push back majorly against him.
All right.
He's a great red zone target, and Bortles threw 35 touchdowns last year.
And furthermore, yeah. I don't even know. What are the rules? I know it's hazy, the rules for
there are no
player
rules.
Of the year.
Which is why it's
– What is he coming back from? I know he hurt his finger earlier in the season.
Coming back from a bad
hand,
season.
Right?
He's coming back from a bad season and missing time.
He looked a little chunk, by the way, by the end of last season. So that's something to track as well.
That's true.
This is a guy that – I think Wes jumps off the tape when you watch him, that he's really talented.
Before last year he did.
He's also a guy with as many seasons over 500 yards as Jared Cook or someone that probably less than that. I mean, he has one season in his NFL career.
He gets injured a lot.
With over 500. Right, but he didn't play.
Well, the knock on him.
He didn't play the first 2 years. He had one great year, and then he had the weird year the last year in Denver. So it's a guy that hasn't consistently produced for whatever reason.
The knock on him is the same one as Jimmy Graham, toughness. That if he gets a nagging injury, he's not going to produce at the level he should.
Yeah, but I feel like with the success that he had in Denver and then the fact that he went to Jacksonville and it was just such a down year for him, I feel like that's got to eat away at you a little bit. So I would hope that he would come back and just that would at least fuel him a little bit. Also, because they have Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, defenses, I mean, the way that Robinson was last year, defenses are going to have to cover them. So that will help Julius Thomas as well.
That's true.
All right. Who's yours, Rosie?
Well, I thought about, you know, your pick for when you had to really hang some onions a few shows ago when I was gone. I thought about Kaepernick because I'm thinking, you know, narratives work with this Comeback Player of the Year award.
Yes, big, big point there.
It's all about the narrative, and
except when Phil Rivers won.
Except for when Philip Rivers won, and I was just like, what was he coming back from, being the 18th quarterback in the league? And then I thought about, well, that similar to that, maybe it could be my guy Ryan Tannehill, just because I want to mention my article going up today, the case for Ryan Tannehill. But
ooh,
no, he does not really make any sense as Comeback Player of the Year. So I chose what I really would pick if I was – putting down sandwiches in this mythical desert town that we speak about. And that's Dez Bryant. I mean, Dez Bryant is someone I think that's going to be highly motivated to prove that last year was an aberration. And I think is going to be highly motivated to be in as good shape as possible, which he has admitted that was not the case last year, coming off of his holdout and some injury issues, obviously.
Romo.
And then you get this, I don't know how many more years we're going to have of Tony Romo, but I don't think they're going to be able to run the playbook that they did a few years ago where he didn't throw the ball that much. I think they're going to be throwing the ball a ton, and they got a great offensive line, and that's a recipe for Dez Bryant to get almost 2,000 yards, something like that.
Wow.
And he gets Comeback Player of the Year.
I think with that quarterback, with that offensive line, with that young running back, and with Dez Bryant, the ceiling for the Cowboys on offense. I mean, I'm not going to put it – I agree with, I think, the general consensus here that the Packers probably have the best offense in the league if everything's clicking. But the Cowboys, they're going to be in contention if everything clicks and people stay healthy.
I agree, and I don't think that defense is going to be very good, but I think that helps out Dez Bryant's case. I think they're going to be, unlike a couple years ago, I think they're going to be in a lot of games that it's 29-26 or 34-31, and they're going to have to score a lot of points.
Greg, how about the idea that he could be breaking down physically at age 28?
The only person I've ever heard make that claim is Dan Hanses.
Well, I'm just saying that he's got a lot going on with his body. He's been around a while now. It's certainly possible.
I can't wait to see Dez Bryant and Josh Norman.
I mean, ooh, that's true.
I don't like I don't like the injuries
couple
either,
times
Wes.
A year.
Feet, don't like the feet, don't like a back. Remember
he left
the stadium in a wheelchair after a
playoff
game.
Dancing on his grave for no reason.
You love Dez Bryant. I'm surprised.
I do love – wait, why do I have to be a blind fanboy about something? I'm just saying there's two sides of the coin with this conversation.
Well, his guy that he should follow is Brandon Marshall, because no one is more physical and had more surgeries than Brandon Marshall, and yet he's had some great longevity in his career.
An all-time Jet.
That's a good
point. Do you have a Comeback Player of the Year?
I do.
Do you not count because you're a producer?
Well, it's up to you.
Let's be honest. In a normal situation, the producer would not – we wouldn't trust the football acumen of a producer.
You don't trust my football acumen?
Please. All right.
Wait. No, I'll let you guys decide.
No, of course you have to throw it in. I'm kidding.
Kevin White.
Ooh.
I'll throw out there as a guy that's a little off the grid. And in general, I'd like to say I have a –
play ball.
Wait. No.
Oh, my God.
That the Bears and Vikings are going to switch fates this season, and it'll be the Bears getting back to the playoffs. And a big reason why is that Jay Cutler, of all people, will turn into a big-time passer with Alshon Jeffrey.
Now you're just
a young, dynamic Kevin White, a guy that's been compared to Andre Johnson by his wide receivers coach, a guy who's looking very strong and healthy in the off-season workouts. Look out for Kevin White, baby. Comeback Player of the Year.
Trope alert.
Trope alert? Okay. Nailed it.
Trope alert.
Trope alert on you.
Trope alert.
What?
Oh. You're believing all the offseason hype about Kevin
Trope
White?
Alert.
You haven't even seen him play a
Trope
snap,
alert.
And all of a sudden he's your comeback of the year candidate?
Yeah.
Can't wait till Brian Hoyer wins comeback player of the year with this wide receiver core.
Oh, wow. Brian Hoyer.
Sorry, guys. I'm too busy hanging onion.
Hanging onion? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Okay. I like Kevin.
I've got to play ball.
I got guys back there saying Andrew Luck's the comeback player of the year. I'm hanging onion over here.
I thought the goal was to get it right.
Well, I think I will be right.
Has there ever been – I like Kevin White. That's an interesting pick. Has there ever been a guy who missed his rookie year, never played in the NFL, and still won comeback player of the year?
Good question. Probably not, right?
I would guess not.
Wait, Irishman just ran in.
Could you be a rookie of the year and comeback player of the year? Could he?
I don't think you can be a rookie of the year in your second
season. Could he be both? By the way, we should now move it where it's no longer called a Sessler. It's called a play ball when you have it in front of you. I've got a play ball. yeah, Brandon has sent me multiple notes during the podcast.
Yeah, what is Brandon doing over
the
here?
Latest one is that I
not
that,
producing
that we owe him. I owe him a sandwich for his knowledge. Don't challenge his producer knowledge. He did win a sandwich on us in the last Go Get My Lunch.
Brandon, right. I would put, if I had a rank 1 to 10, how well Brandon's handling this, which isn't really a demotion, just more a little change up of the guard here.
It's like how you did to Colleen in softball.
Yeah,
four and a half
much.
Out of 10, basically.
What? Well, he's like, I would think he's in 11 right now. He's jumping around there like he's a cheerleader.
Wait,
I've never
I was
felt
just
so
going
much
to
energy.
Say, I think he's like on a sugar rush right now.
He's very proud.
He's jumping all over the studio. And they're whispering to each other now. All right, let's move on.
You said a sugar Ray rush, guys.
Oh. I've never seen Brandon more outwardly emotional.
We need to have an intervention with the Sugar Ray.
Yeah. I thought you guys were talking about Sugar Ray Leonard the other day before the pod. You were talking Sugar Ray, and I was like, oh, I guess I missed this whole conversation, whatever.
Be a lot cooler.
Did not know it was Sugar Ray the artist. Okay. So, Chris, you wrote a artist, air quotes. You wrote an article that's up right now on NFL.com that everybody can check out. So it's about the most valuable non-quarterbacks entering the 2016 season. And question, did you rank these? Are they in order? Are they like you? I know they're
Thanks
numbered.
For reading the article, Cully.
No, I have it right here. And I do
I
have some
it.
Observations.
That's what
is it a banger?
That's what hosts have to
Hardcore
do.
Hardcore banger.
Not read Chris's articles.
So, but you're looking at them and you have them numbered 1 through 10. I didn't know if one was like the top. One's
yes.
the top, right? Okay.
I will confirm.
Got it. So.
That would be,
what I was looking at.
I don't know if you're just lying to cover up for the fact that you haven't read it, Colleen, but you kind of you could use some context clues here. When J.J. Watt's number 10,
I know, I just,
number
I just
one, and Patrick Peterson's number 10, you know, you can kind of figure it out.
I'm a terrible liar. All right, so let's get to this list. It's a really great, all-encompassing list. But now that I'm looking at it, 1 through 5, you only have one offensive player.
Interesting.
Well, all the best offensive players play the guy behind the center. Yeah. He's the
Do you think that it's just like a great time for defensive players, or just you're saying a great defensive player inherently, you're saying, is more valuable than a great wide receiver or skill position, or
no? I'm not saying that.
So it's
just saying J.J. Watt might go down as the best defensive player of all time when it's all said and done. Aaron Donald played on his level last year. Mm-hmm. Von Miller's the Super Bowl MVP and will be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL soon. And Luke Kuechly, I think, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame middle linebacker. So that's who you're dealing with. And Gronk is in their class.
Gronk is number 2 on your list.
Number 2. So you have no running backs on this list. No Le'Veon Bell.
No Le'Veon Bell. I mean, can he stay off the suspended list and out of the trainer's room?
The one that stands out to me the most is Kuechly. And I guess I'd like to hear you explain like why you think he's at that level, where he's that valuable to their team. I think you could look at the Panthers and argue Kawan Short last year was as valuable as Kuechly. Is that crazy?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I would point you in the direction of the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving game, which is the best game I've seen by an inside linebacker in the past half decade, and his playoff run, which was overshadowed by Von Miller's, but equally as impressive in a different kind of way.
I thought Thomas Davis – I guess it's just there's so many good players in the defense that maybe you don't think of Kuechly standing apart that much. Like, for instance, in the conference championship game, I thought Thomas Davis, before his injury – was the best guy on the field, and that's nothing against Kuechly. It's just Thomas Davis was insanely good. So he's surrounded by great talent, but you shouldn't count that against Luke Kuechly.
Wes,
yes,
I like your list.
Thank you, Dan.
I think it's very strong. I like Aaron Donald is number 3. I don't think a lot of people would put him there, but Wes is a real football head, mm-hmm. so I believe in him when he puts him in the top 3 there. The one question I will say, you got AP on the just missed portion of this. Isn't that kind of, I know you said earlier this week that maybe you lost a half step, but you get on people for doubting Larry Fitzgerald. Adrian Peterson is one of the greatest running backs of all time. Shouldn't we give him a little more room? And should it be on this top 10 still until he really falls off?
I love Adrian Peterson. I think he's great, but I'm not going to put a 30-year-old running back up there who doesn't really do much in the passing game.
This would be probably the first time in his entire career that he wouldn't be on a list like this.
I would rank Le'Veon Bell over Adrian Peterson.
And you did. And I agree because of what you said about passing downs. Like, he has a role, but you also don't have any two-down defensive tackles on this list. And at this point in his career, you're right. He's not a gigantic asset on third downs, which is like every other down is a passing down.
Well, for all the weirdos on the Vikings Reddit board, look, Adrian Peterson is the best running back of his generation. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But he's not what he was 3 years ago. He's still great. He's just not like the 2,097 yards in a single season guy now.
Tyrann Mathieu, he's also on the just missed list. If he stayed healthy, where would he have moved at all?
I think he'd be in the top 10 if he had stayed healthy.
Really?
So he'd be ahead of his teammate Peterson.
They'd be neck and neck right there. Mm.
You have Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham, 6, 7, 8. And it does get me thinking about just this era of wide receivers is crazy. And I don't know if I don't think it's just that the numbers are inflated, because if you throw in DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green and Dez Bryant into that mix and they didn't quite make your top 10, that's just a crazy top-heavy, like, star stud number one receiver group right now.
Yeah, I think you can – I mean, you look at the numbers, and Julio Jones had the second most receptions and yards ever last season, and part of that is because of the era they played in. But Antonio Brown was right behind him. And I think you can make the argument that Odell Beckham is the best wide receiver in the game. Since he entered the starting lineup, since he played his first NFL game in week 5 of 2014, Gronk is the only player within 6 touchdowns of him.
But
he's
You have Julio ranked higher than him.
Yeah, and Julio has more yards than him. I mean, yards and receptions count too.
Dave, do you think in 1-2 here, do you think if Rick Smith picked up the phone and called Belichick and offered Watt for Gronk?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
What would Belichick do?
I don't think either of those guys would take it. They like what they have.
That would be so weird.
It would be weird, and yet I think Belichick would take it.
Really?
No way.
No.
I mean, I guess in a real world
Gronk
scenario.
Get rid of Gronk?
You don't just want to mess up your team, but I think Belichick would agree with Wes that J.J. Watt is a more valuable player, not to mention he's a healthier player I feel like less of an injury risk. I know he's coming off an injury right now, but
there were also multiple reports that Belichick fell in love with J.J. Watt before that draft.
Ooh, that's a good point.
If I was Dan right now, I would chime in with, it's convenient how those Patriots stories always come out. Belichick was out. You know, he wanted Percy Harvin. And he wanted J.J.
Watt.
This
particular one came out before the draft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Bill Belichick's infallible, Greg. That's how I see it from behind the glass.
I love this list. I really have no problems with it. I wanted to hear what you said with Keekly. I would put Miller higher than Aaron Donald, but that is a small quibble, and that is basically just – when I look at this list, I kind of think it's not just last year. I don't think you're basing it just on last year. You're
Based on all data available to us.
Right. And to me, the fact that Von Miller's been so great year after year, really since the day he entered the league, would give him a slight edge, because I want to see Aaron Donald do it again. You know,
I mean, you're talking about
there's no reason to think he wouldn't.
He won Defensive Rookie of the Year before that. So it's not like we're talking about a guy without a pedigree.
That's fair. And that's a small quibble. I would put him. I would still have Donald in the top. I also want to point out, you always, between the top 100 list and this list, you always have a lot of love for Geno Atkins.
That's so true.
Which I appreciate. I think you're the biggest Geno Atkins truther out there about what a great player he is.
He's right up there with Aaron Donald, really. I mean, I think they're neck and neck for the best defensive tackle in the league. And Geno, in 2 of the past 4 years, has been one of the best defensive players in the league. He's
strike
a difference
three,
maker.
You're out.
All right, then.
Dan, if this article had a vanity URL, what would it be?
NFL.com/Wes ain't all about the QBs. This game is more than just the glory boys. Check out these other players, because they're badass and also dope.
Cool. So everybody can check that out there. It's a great article. I've basically written – I haven't written any of it. I'm reading it right now.
I've read half of it. You're trying to take credit
for it now. Should point out what prompted this article with
–
Dan, you know, as a producer, you're supposed to be making the talent feel better.
Oh.
And you're doing strike three. On
you're
Wes's
out.
Point, you're doing this sad, you know?
No, I wasn't strike threeing Wes's point. I hit that button by accident.
Really?
I'm not good at this.
No, you're great.
I think you're great. It's been a lot of fun.
Chisel down.
Yeah. The chisels have been thrown away.
Wait, so what spurred this article?
Well, Fletcher Cox just got a new contract, which made him the second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And all the talk is that Von Miller will soon become the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Mm. So it seemed like a good time to write this up.
Great timing, good content.
Great.
Well,
thank you, Colin. Written, good read. Got my words together.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Right.
No, it's going to be a metrics banger. No doubt about that. They're going to ride this thing through the weekend.
Yeah, but who's they? That's the big question.
The DOP.
Oh, that's true.
Dan, I want to thank you for throwing me in this seat unprepared. I think I learned a lot.
You know what? I think we all learned a lot here because I learned a lot behind the glass on what goes into producing and how it's not an easy job. And I just want to say, Irish, now sitting to my right, pick up the chisels.
Does this mean that he's officially on Mount Rushmore now that you've been back there?
I don't think not yet. Mm. It's not a done deal yet.
Keep dangling the carrot.
Yeah, you got to dangle that carrot.
What does he have to do, Dan?
Let's just let this whole thing play out. That's all I'm saying.
Translation, if it's going to happen, we're going to make a production out of it and have some elements. We're not just going to throw it into the end of a show where Brandon's not even on the microphone.
Fair.
That's a good job producing by Dan Hansis. I've never seen Brandon so happy as
Brandon.
Well, both of
Brandon's
you
like
are beaming
the guy,
right now.
Like the wacky sidekick on a radio show that keeps on handing little notes of bits. This one says, how to get on Mount Rushmore, get four hits tonight.
That's true.
Oh.
We're going to need you on bait.
Yeah, Brandon's first ever leadoff appearance.
I will be doing scouting reports for everybody from the bench.
All right. You can take over the Sessler social media role.
Oh, perfect. All right, great.
We're going to miss Mark tonight.
I know. I haven't been at a game yet with Mark, I've only been to two games.
And one of them, you try to order beer from the outfield.
And the other one, there was no umpire, so it wasn't really an official game.
What kind of league is this?
Strike three, you're out.
I had three hits in that one.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, now the pressure's on. This time it counts.
Well, we miss Mark. Right. Mark is going to be back with us.
Is he back on Monday?
He is back.
Or Tuesday, whenever we do our
from vacation on Monday.
It's not the same without him here.
No, that's you need true. That. You need that energy, that sizzler energy. So.
Yeah, he's going to come back refreshed. I'm excited about it.
I'm excited.
All right. When are you? And so you guys are all back on Monday?
We will be back for another show on Monday. Two shows next week. We'll probably do it Monday, Thursday.
That sounds right.
Okay, great. Well, everybody, have a great weekend.
Nailed it.
I'll see you guys tonight for softball, for the mailman, for the boss, for Dan. Weird. The Irishman.
The
we got to come
Zeuser.
Up with a nickname. The old Zeuser. Till Monday.
Nicely done. All right, so Connie, you're tracking the length of the program and
yep,
it's good. Just being the producer, you know.
And Dan, like every producer, don't be afraid to get in my ear.
I don't know how to do that, so
okay.
Oh, okay. Wait, that's a button. Connie, do you hear me?
Yes.
Don't f this up.